This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Your voice I often hear. Another day, another night, I long to hold you tight. 'Cause I'm so lonely.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank, I'm literally in Champaign right now. Must have missed your breakdown of our loss to Penn State. Yeah, it was 72-56. It's just a tough season. You know, I'm not like really like down on Illinois, even though they finished 11-20. By the way, was that their first... Did I hear maybe one of their first 20 loss seasons of all time?
Oh, this is certainly going to be go down as one of the worst Illinois teams. But there was so much turnover, you know, not only with the roster or coaching staff. There was that dark cloud about the Adidas thing. Underwood's assistant at Oklahoma State was, you know, involved. So you had all that chatter. But I think they finished strong. They had some quality wins and played one of the toughest schedules in the country.
It is their first 20 loss in their history.
This is the worst.
How many years have they been around?
This is their 114th season per sportsreference.com. That's a pretty good history.
See, the problem is they had that great run where they're beating good teams, and then they came off. They lost five of their last six. So now they'll play Northwestern, who's 13-18. On Wednesday in the Big Ten tournament.
But I think the true Illini fans will say this is, I feel as much promise in this year as I have in any year that Gross coached, because he wasn't getting recruits. At least Underwood's making waves into national recruiting. You had some big wins. Gross just got the bottom feeder wins and, you know, barely survived. At least Underwood's playing the heavy competition and going after nationally ranked guys. I have much more promise now than I did 5 years ago.
You can hear all those Illinois games here in 590 The Fan in the Big Ten tournament. It did seem like they just ran out of gas at the end of the year.
I was once... A wise man once told me, no pain, no pain, instead of no pain, no gain. Well put. Frank, serious question. If you could do it all over again or had a twin in an alternate reality, would you have rather been a basketball coach? Yes. Absolutely. Now, I wouldn't want to be like an assistant. Like, let's just say I'm an assistant at Illinois and they fire the staff and then I got to go be an assistant somewhere else.
You want to be handed that.
I want to be Mark Few. Pay my dues for a long time and then get the job and then have a long run. Because I wouldn't want to be moving around all the time. But I would definitely love to have a team. And if I win the lottery, I will be a high school coach tomorrow.
I think it'd be fun to be a Major League Baseball scout. The difficulties of that, but I think that'd be fun going to see a ton of baseball games. So.
Hey, Frank, I'm pumped up right now with this recruiting class SLU has coming. Bell Jr. is a beast. Him and Hassan French are going to run the rim, Stan from Abilene, Texas. Yeah, that is a nice – you got the five and then Hassan at the four and Yori and Jordan Goodwin, Fred Thatch, Tony Hargrove. Man, you got some players. Absolutely. We're never going to be in a situation where we're going to be talking about SLU and six healthy scholarship players again, I don't think. All right, let's switch topics. We'll head to Jupiter and chat with the Hall of Famer, Rick Hummel. Rick, great to be with you. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Very good. It's been a while since we've spoken. I'd love to get your take on who do you think is emerging to get that fifth spot in the starting rotation replacing Carlos Martinez right now?
Well, I think the only real options are Dakota Hudson and John Gant, and they'll both get starts the rest of the way here, and the other guy will turn up in the bullpen. Gant's out of options, so I don't want to lose him. And Hudson has options, but they don't want to option him. They only had 12 pitchers better than him. So Hudson was the tough part about putting him in the bullpen is that he was so good coming in with men on base last year and getting ground balls and stuff, but he's probably the better starter of the two also.
How about the situation with Alex Reyes? What do you see unfolding there on opening day in Milwaukee?
I see him either being in the bullpen or not being on the club. He's only been pitching one inning at a time here. That's hardly stretching him out here. He's got another outing tomorrow over at Disney against the Braves. Now, maybe they'll try to get two innings out of him tomorrow. I don't know, but it won't be many innings to be had because Michaelis will pitch five or six. And I see him as a one-inning guy right now. He hasn't been real good. He's walked four in two innings. He hasn't allowed any runs yet, but he's been a little off, and I don't think he's going to be – he's certainly not in the rotation right away.
So you think there's a realistic chance he could start the season as a starter in Memphis?
There is. Or there's a chance he could be in the bullpen here. I don't know whose spot he would be taking if they did that, but I do not see him starting for the Cardinals at the beginning of the year. I'm fairly certain of that.
Left side of the bullpen, another question mark as we speak. It wasn't a great outing for Brett Cecil.
Except that he struck out Michael Conforto, who's probably the only guy of the four or five guys he faced that I think he would actually be facing during the season. The rest of them were backup players. So that was big to get out of that spot. But he did walk by and hit a guy, and he looks not quite right. He's going to get more chances. I do think somehow they will have him not on the 25-man roster. I'm not saying they're going to have to invent an injury here, but he's had injuries in the last year or so that might qualify, but I do not see him breaking camp with the team.
All right. In terms of the corner spots in the outfield, does Tyler O'Neill have any chance to win the jobs in left or right field?
I don't think left field. Ozuna's going to be playing left field today for the first time, and I'd be surprised if he's not playing their opening day unless his arm gives him more trouble. We'll see how he throws today, if he has even any plays to make. O'Neill could be sharing right field along with Martinez and Fowler. I think Fowler's the jury is not back in on him yet. He hasn't been bad. He's actually been pretty good, but he still only has three hits. And O'Neill has had six hits, one a single, and five extra base hits, including four home runs. But his average is also fairly low, too. He has walked a lot, and he has struck out a lot, but walking a lot is something he didn't do before, so there's progress there. I think at the beginning he'll be sharing right field with Fowler. I do not think Fowler has lost the right field job just yet.
But do you think that because of everything that was said in the offseason and the Schilt-Fowler relationship, that they would give Dexter 6 weeks to lose the job?
I don't know about six, but I think April anyway, March, week in March and April. I do think O'Neill would play against left-handers or Martinez. I don't think Fowler will play against all the left-handers. And maybe not all the time anyway. And perhaps O'Neill will also get some time, as could Martinez in left field, because Ozuna may not be able to play every day at the beginning of the year either. And also, O'Neill played center field yesterday for the first time in St. Lucie. Did not look great, but he could play there once in a while for Bader.
Yeah, are you at all concerned about Bader's offense? I mean, what do you think his numbers could look like with 550 at-bats?
I don't know that he's much more than a 260 hitter. He was 264 last year. He could hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases if he played every day. But that would be a lot of strikeouts, and thus far, not many walks. I don't know that he's going to be much better hitter than he was last season. Now, if you have enough other guys doing their job offensively and considering his defense, you can play a guy and bat him eighth or seventh with Bader's numbers. So I don't think it's a big problem unless he doesn't hit that high, unless he hits 230 or something. Then you got to look at it.
Which utility player makes the 25th man? Is Munoz still the favorite?
Yes, because he's shown an ability to hit and hit in the clutch. I think he hit 350-something with men on base last year. He played shortstop a little bit yesterday after playing right field. A little shaky in right field. Shortstop, he made it, started a double play late. They don't have a strong shortstop backup to DeJong on the roster. I think Edmundo Sosa would be the shortstop in waiting if DeJong got hurt. He's not at Memphis now. Robinson is still a contender. He's playing shortstop today. DeJong's the only regular not playing today. I think Munoz is the favorite, and on the outside rail is Tommy Edman, who is a shortstop and second baseman, would be the best defender of the three, has had the least experience of the three, no experience in the big leagues, but he's a pretty good little hitter, and I don't know that this won't be his job into the season somewhere, but I think he'll start the season in Memphis. But if you're looking for the best infield reserve at short or second, especially short, it would be Tommy Edman. Jurco is still not playable right now, but by the next week or so he should be playing, and he could fill in at short for a game or two. But Edman's the guy to keep in your back pocket. But Munoz is probably the best of the three right now.
You've been observing Paul Goldschmidt for a while now. What jumps out at you?
He's real smooth around the bag. He's comfortable in his new setting. It's the first new team he's played with in his career. Everybody seems to like him. He seems to like everybody. He welcomes interviews. He doesn't get too expansive on some of these the topics, but he's okay. And just a solid guy. He's been batting third all the time so far. I know Mike Shield had kicked around the idea of hitting him second and hasn't rejected that, but so far he's trying to find a second-place hitter that he doesn't have to put Goldschmidt there. And Fowler is hitting second today. That's the guy he'd like to see hit there, but not when he's hitting 160.
How about to give me some over-unders here? Paul Goldschmidt, 30 home runs. Over-under.
I would say over.
Paul DeJong, over-under 25 home runs.
I would also say over.
Matt Carpenter, over-under 30 home runs.
I would say under.
Marcelo Zuna, over-under 25.
Over.
Adam Wainwright, over-under 150 innings.
Under.
All right, let's just say we are in the, what was that, Commish?
That was the right answer, Horn.
Well, there's some bets, but I think it's trash day here. I think I'll step in five for a minute here. I'll do that.
What happens in Milwaukee? 3-2, ninth inning, Cardinals lead. Who gets the ball to finish out the game, or does it depend on who's coming up?
Yeah, it depends if Yelich and Travis Shaw are hitting for the Brewers, and Miller isn't in the game. He will be in the game whenever those guys bat, eighth inning, ninth inning, and Hicks will be the other guy. So if Yelich and Shaw are at bat in the eighth in a perilous situation, Miller pitches that one. Maybe he could pitch the ninth, but he hasn't been pitching two innings down here like he has been in the playoffs. I'd say Hicks would have the ninth inning if those other left-hand hitters are not involved.
So Marcelo Zuna is going to play his first game today in left field. Kind of give me an overview of what you've seen out of him and maybe a thought. Did he work as hard as he possibly could in this offseason to be in the best shape possible?
Well, I would answer the second question, no. He came in heavy. He wasn't like a blimp or anything, but he's still a little heavy now. But guys used to do that all the time, you know. He has two weeks yet. The key was getting his arm in shape. I think he did work with some diligence on that, and he's worked very hard here. He had a hit the other day. He swung the bat better than one for 15 or 16 or whatever he is. But these 2 weeks bear watching because you can't assume he's perfectly okay. You have to see him play the field. You have to see him throw to third base where he can actually prevent a guy from going to second rather than the liberties that were taken on him last year. Or can he throw home? He did that the other day in the drill. Looked good. But let's see. They have coverage with O'Neill and Martinez. It isn't like he has to be playing 7 days a week when the season starts.
Isn't it kind of baffling, though, if you're in the walk year of a contract, you don't come in like in absolute perfect shape?
It is a little baffling. I think he thinks he can get in perfect shape by opening day. And he may be right. He looks better than he did when he walked in here February 13th. So I'm willing to keep an open mind about this. He's not ready to put on a Santa Claus suit yet. So I think he's all right, I think.
So your colleague Jason Stark had this piece in The Athletic about the bionic arm of Jordan Hicks, saying that this guy throws a baseball faster than arguably anybody in history. You have actually covered, you know, firsthand, day in and day out, three of the best relievers of all time, Lee Smith, Dennis Eckersley, and Bruce Sutter. Do you think one day we'll be talking about Jordan Hicks as one of the greats, or is it just much, much too early?
A little of both. He has the fastball. Will he have the slider under control? Will he have both under control? His fastball while fast, doesn't move a whole lot. You know, it can be hit if you time it. But he could be one of the greats, and you know, if we're covering great relievers, Todd Worrell had some nice seasons with the Cardinals too.
Jason Isringhausen was good.
Yeah, also, you're exactly right. Let's put those five. I didn't see Eckert at his best. So I just go with Suter, Isringhausen, Worrell, and Lee Smith for the and Tom Hankey.
Oh my goodness, that season for Hankey, yeah.
So those five would be the best I've seen with the Cardinals. And Rosenthal too, I guess, for a couple years. So. There's a lot of company for Hicks to try to jump into, but an arm like that, he's got the disposition, it seems. So I think he's got a chance to be an all-time great, yeah.
What else should we look forward to today with the Cardinals and Nationals in a 12:05 start?
Well, Scherzer's pitching for the other side, so that'll be interesting. And even though the DH is allowed for National League teams until Thursday, Flaherty wanted to bat today against Scherzer, and Schilt decided that Jose Martinez would be a better idea as the DH. But Scherzer is batting against Flaherty. And Scherzer actually hit .243 last year, which for pitchers is like .400.
Oh, you sat down with Yadier, correct?
I did.
Yeah, what jumped out at you there?
I think the most telling part of that was that however many years he plays, he wants to play them as a regular. He does not want to be playing 50 or 60 games and hitting 190 just to be playing. Because if I play 17 years, I'm playing 17 years. You know, I'm not, you know, having three bad years or two bad years or any bad years. He wants to be a regular when he goes out. He does want to play again after this contract, maybe in 2021, but he's through 2020 certainly. And he does not, I suspect, want to manage after his playing career is over. Doesn't have the patience for it, either with the players or with the media, probably.
I couldn't picture Yadier meeting with the writers, then meeting with TV and radio, then doing a post-game press conference, you know, three times a day, and then meeting with Mike Shanahan. So it'd be like four different interviews a day for 162 games. Now, I just can't see that.
He says, as he pointed out, he says, it wouldn't be hard for me. It would be hard for you.
Well done. Good stuff. Commish, thank you so much. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Okay, Frank.
All right. The great Rick Hummel joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan. And I will say this for our Rick Hummel fans, and you should be if you're a right-thinking American, we are trying to arrange a deal where Rick will join us every week during the baseball season. I can't think of anybody I'd rather talk to than Rick Hummel. All right. Before we go to break, I'm going to tell you about one of our great sponsors here, and that's the Bomberito Automotive Family. They are Missouri's number one automotive group. Nobody has more. Nobody sells more. 20 locations. They're in your neighborhood. 16 service centers. We know your car better than anyone, they say. Your choice for your number one car in the St. Louis area. They have that exclusive 10-year, 200,000-mile nationwide warranty. The best back cars in America are from Bomberito. Family owned and operated for 47 years. Frank started it. John runs it now. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.